question that destroys my life. And we want to have a look today, this morning, at the story or the account and the record of God's dealings with one man. Brother Leonard mentioned that portion yesterday in our discussion, how that Philip, the evangelist, had gone down to the city of Samaria, and he had been preaching there, and many people were saved. It tells us in verse 8 of Acts chapter 8, there was great joy in that city. Such a wonderful thing that joy accompanies salvation. Only Christianity, someone said, has a song. There was great joy there. And when we come to this 8th chapter, we find the account now of a man who, for the most part, was an obscure man. We haven't read anything of him in the past, and he sort of fades away into history, and don't read much of anything, as far as I know, about this man. And Scripture doesn't give us his name. Another nameless character in the Bible. So what a tremendous impact this nameless man had. We'll begin reading at verse 26 and say a little bit about the place and about the man and the message. Verse 26 said, "An angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he besought Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so open be not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way as miserable as ever. I got the wrong text there. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. An interesting thing, many interesting things here. But here you find a man on his way from Egypt up to Jerusalem. And traveling along that way was the desert way. Now, that expression, desert, might be just slightly misleading, because he was traveling along the coastline up the Mediterranean Sea from Egypt. And the traffic of half a world went by that area. But I would suppose it was all a four-lane highway. There was no doubt times when he came to lonely places. And I wondered very often as to whether this man was traveling alone, which I doubt very much. There no doubt was at least some resemblance to an entourage here. There were no doubt many that came along with him. I would think so anyway. It was dangerous in those days, as it is dangerous today, to travel in parts of Africa and of Israel alone. And so there's no doubt there were others that traveled with this man. And then the other thing is that God is able to reach a man no matter where he is. No matter where he is. We have the idea today, you know, that you have to go to church to get saved. Or you have to go to church, let's say, to get religion. And he begins to talk to someone about the need of Jesus Christ, and almost the first thing you get in return response is, well, I go to church, but I go to church every chance I get. I talked to an elderly man, I think I can't use that word now. I talked to an elderly man, almost that old, and back on there. He was 78 years of age. And he said to me, I go to church every opportunity I get. I read the Bible. And I always try to do the best I can. Always try to do the best I can. The other thing he said was, I keep the Ten Commandments. Now, I wasn't referring to the Ten Commandments. I wasn't referring to church. And I wasn't referring to do the best I can. But he was a man who expected that he was going to get into God's heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, by going to church, and by doing the best he could. Whoso was wrong on all three counts. If this Ethiopian eunuch had to go to church to get right with God, he would have a long way to go. Now the man himself, as we mentioned, is an obscure man. He's a nameless person. But the Spirit of God somehow has gotten a hold of this man. There has been an exercise in his heart and in his conscience. He was an unsatisfied soul. He was dissatisfied with what he had. Well, perhaps he had nothing. A lot of superstition. Folks in Africa worship the moon god Sin. They worship the turtles, and they just worship anything and everything. You name it. Crocodiles, the River Nile. They worship the whole bit. They took in the whole thing. So he was a man who wasn't satisfied with that. There was no doubt something aching in his heart, and he recognized and realized that something he ought to have that he didn't have. And he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the religious center, so to speak, of the world at that time, he was a man who was searching for something. Didn't know exactly what he was searching for, but he felt sure he could get it at Jerusalem. Now I apologize because I don't have a figure as to how long in miles he had to travel, but he traveled a long way. It was no small thing for that man to get Queen Candace to let him off on a month's vacation or a tour to get up there to Jerusalem. But he did. He was a very important gentleman. He was a treasurer. He had charge of all the treasures of Queen Candace of Egypt. Candace was more or less a title similar to that of Pharaoh. So here was a man. He was nothing ignorant about him. He could read Greek. He could read Greek, but he was an ignorant man. He wasn't a stupid man. He was an intelligent human being. The man of intelligence. Man in whom the queen and Egypt could have confidence in charge of all the threats. And he was on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem to worship. Why should we turn? Isn't that interesting? Doesn't tell us anything about what he saw in Jerusalem. Doesn't tell us anything about who he met in Jerusalem. Doesn't tell us anything of what he did in Jerusalem. But he went to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem an unsatisfied man. He went to Jerusalem an unfulfilled man. He went to Jerusalem as a seeking man. On his way back, He was going back home, just the way he went out here. And when you go up to Jerusalem, by the way, you go up on the mountain. Went up to Jerusalem. And you can just imagine in your mind's eye, this man standing day after day, we don't know how long he spent in Jerusalem, but there he stood, no doubt, day after day after day, in the Gentile court, not being allowed to go into the temple. Probably he was asking questions. Probably he sought out the priests and the Pharisees, the scribes, what have you there, trying to get some information. But the information that he wanted eluded him in Jerusalem. However, he got a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. Got a copy of the Word of God. There's the power in the Word of God. He got a hold of the Word of God. He had bought for himself a scroll of the copy of Isaiah. And on his way back to Jerusalem, back to Egypt, it is an interesting thing. He hadn't given up. He hadn't given up in spite of the disappointment and discouragement up there in Jerusalem. He had not the answer to his need, the answer to his question. He still hadn't given up. On his way back, he was reading that scroll of Isaiah. And he couldn't understand. He didn't quite know what the message was in the scroll of Isaiah. But you see, here was a man, this time of mind. Man was searching. You know, there are a lot of dissatisfied people in our world today. I don't know how many are searching for truth. I don't know how many who are interested and concerned about truth. Ever so often you hear about people who are hungry for the gospel. I'd like to see a few people hungry for the gospel. You talk to individuals here and there, and nobody seems to be much concerned about what it is you have to say or what it is you have to offer. But here was a man who stands out in a very unique way as a man who wanted to know, as a man who had an empty and a lonely heart, and there was something missing in his life. You want to see that need filled? There was a yearning and a longing in his heart for something he didn't have. And probably he couldn't have put his finger on just exactly what this thing was that was missing out of his life. There was an element that was mysterious to him. Didn't know exactly what it was. But you and I know that it was the Spirit of God that was dealing with this man. The Spirit of God bringing home to this man his need of Jesus Christ. He wasn't quite sure of that. But you know, no man or a woman ever gets to God's heaven without first of all being brought to the conviction of sin. I think that's one thing that's lacking in our evangelism and in our preaching of today. Is bringing before men and women their need of Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we read later, we read in Acts 1:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now somehow, some prayer, this man down there in Egypt heard about Jerusalem and heard about the temple and heard about the one who died upon the cross. And who heard about the one who was raised again from the dead, and that he was alive. There was something he must have heard. Just what that entailed, I don't know. Maybe you'd be glad to know about it. One thing this man knew, there was a need in his life. There was a void in his life. And there was something he needed to know. There was something he needed to receive. And he was on his way to Jerusalem to find out. On his way back, God had ready a man. God had ready a man. The seeking soul will find the Savior. He was a man. So, he'd been preaching down there in Samaria. You see a lot of people get saved in that heathen city of Samaria. You go to, we missed that, you did, I found a bigger 1917. at Samaria. Ahab, Samaria. A wicked city. A city filled with thy thoughts and all the rottenness that goes along with thy thoughts. And here the gospel was brought to that city. And men and women were being saved. And the Lord said to Philip, he said, I want you to get up and go down there to James, Philistine. James are one of the five Philistine principal cities, Philistines and capitals. He says, you go down there, and there's a man who needs to hear the word. And you go down there, and you find that man. In verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Now the thing was that we don't think that Philip questioned the Lord in this. Well now, Lord, there must be something saved here. There's a lot of people getting saved here. And I can't leave this city. Well, Lord, we're having a real revival going here. And I can't leave this and go down to the desert. He didn't question the purpose of God one bit. He simply got up. And that's what you and I need. And I heard someone speak about the prodigal son one time. It was at a high school graduate. And he simply put it this way. And that prodigal son was sitting there. Just sitting. He was discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was lonely. And then he thought about Dad. Dad at home. And he knew he had a welcome there. Now, I always remember the man said that. The prodigal son got up off it and went home. He just got up and went home. Here was Philip. The Lord said, Philip, you go down there to that desert. Go down there to Gaza. Philip, without question, arose and went. And he found the man. He was leading Isaiah the prophet. And as Philip went to that chariot, he ran. And here's the man leading. The custom was to lead out loud. Here's the man leading to pose the question. You understand what you're reading? You understand what you're reading? Man is an honest man. Honest man. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? Isn't it refreshing to find an honest man somewhere once in a while? The man was honest. He said, no, I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't understand it. And how can I understand it unless I have some man to guide me in this matter? And then he thought, look, come up and sit with me. And was reading from Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. And see what this man was reading. And how it was that he was so puzzled over the words that he was reading here. Let's look at verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep that run astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And here are the verses that the Ethiopian eunuch read, verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his feet, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travel of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Now here was a man who probably had never had the scriptures in his hand. And you know, by the way, the lot of people in America who have never had the scriptures in their hands. When I was in the 1935, I wrote a lot of the 5 minutes in New York. And then the students decided we'd go around all the houses, the apartment houses, and see the Gospel of John, give out 1 million Gospel of John in New York City. And I remember walking up to a man on the street, and they offered him a Gospel of John. He stood there, and he looked at me, and he looked at that little red book, and he deliberately put his hand behind his back. I said, well, sir, I saw the Gospel of John, and it's free. He said, there's got to be some strings attached. I said, the only strings attached are, as you read the little book, it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And he stood there with his hand behind his back, and he said, I've never had the Bible in my hand, in my life. I said, here is a part of the Bible. And just for you. And he wouldn't have. And a lot of people in our United States of America today who would not touch the Word of God. Man really doesn't like the Word of God. He disapproves of the Word of God for the simple reason that it reveals to man what he is. He reveals to man what he is. And man doesn't want to see himself as he is. There's a Chinese who was looking through a microscope, and one day he saw little bits of living matter in the rice. He was a strict vegetarian. But the only sensible thing to do was to destroy the microscope. That's what he did. He just destroyed the microscope. There's a pilot somewhere in Africa who refused to take up his plane because of some malfunction. And they said, well, that is very simple. They just got another pilot. There is a queen in Africa who supposedly was one of the ugliest queens in Africa. And somehow she got a hold of the mirror. And she looked at herself in the mirror and saw the liar. And she didn't sensible think that anyone would have. She smashed the mirror. And so when the Bible gives a port of what man is by nature, and the only sensible thing to do is to reject the Word of God. And go on with it. That's what man does. But here is a man who has the Word of God in his hand. And he says, I'd like to understand this message in this scroll. And Philip was there. He had the answer to this man's need. And that's what it is with every child of God. Born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the secret. We have the answer. To the need of humanity, to the need of society, to the need of men and women and boys and girls around. We have the answer to that, and we have the secret to that. And what is the secret to that? It's the same secret or the same answer that Philip used to deal with this Ethiopian eunuch. It was a crucified Savior, risen from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. That was the message he gave. And it was a simple message. The message of the gospel is a simple message. God had to make it a simple message or he would have been unfair to me. If men who had money and women who had money getting into heaven because of money, God would be unfair to most of the world. If it was a question of works and activity of one sort or another, God would be unfair to a lot of people in the world. Who are born crippled, born without arms, born without hands, born without the degree of intelligence other people have. If the question of intelligence, God would be unfair to me. The message is a simple message. Simple message. And this dear man, he recognized and realized that what Peter was saying about Isaiah was the simple message that Christ died for our sins, according to that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And this is what we have emphasized all through the book of Acts. It's that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And refused to accept him on that premise. And Peter and Paul and the apostles pressed home to the Jewish audience and to the Gentile audience that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Died upon a cross, rose again from the dead, and God took him home there. Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts in verse 51, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do ye always resist the Holy Spirit? As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them who showed before of the oncoming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." That didn't go down. It cost Stephen his life. He stoned him to death. Now here was an Ethiopian, the son of Ham. There was something this man needed. Something this man needed. It was that simple message. That was an effective message. And that's the only message in all the world that can effect a real change and a genuine turnabout in any man or woman's life. A message that was simple. A message, no doubt, was brief. I don't think it took 30 minutes to tell this man that Christ died for his sin. And that Isaiah was telling the story. And prophetically giving the account of how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't take him 30 minutes to do that. When you come to the 9th chapter of Acts, the man we talked about last night, you saw the time. Shem, the Jew. What's the message he needed? I am Jesus who now persecuted. That brought the conviction to his soul. I am Jesus, who am now persecuted. The need of men and women is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the 10th chapter of Acts, we have the same thing. We have the fact that here in the truth, that here is a man who is brought face to face with his need of Christ and brought to see that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. So the message for the Ethiopian is that Christ died for our sins, raised again for our justification. The message for the Jew was that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had been crucified upon the cross, but he's alive. Alive. The living patriarch right now. And for Cornelius the Gentile is the same message. And it's the same message for you and me, for men and women today. That Christ died. He was buried. And then he rose again. And he's living at the right hand of God. And that is all. He's coming again. He's coming again. That should thrill every Christian heart. Day by day. The teacher asked the girls in the school on one occasion to write on a paper what was the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning. A lot of answers. One girl wrote, "Jesus may come today." Jesus may come today. He is coming again. He is a lonely man, a disappointed man, a discouraged man, who had a sense of need by the Spirit of God. There was one man who came to him and saw him put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This man was obedient to the Lord. He became identified with Jesus Christ. He went down into the water with the tide. And it finishes the story that he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way a different man than when he had came. I wonder what the story would have been when he got back home there to Easter. Somebody said that when Philip got on his way and left the Ethiopian eunuch, and started off again into high gear, going down to Gaza. Now he had a story to tell. A different man. One horse turned his head to the other horse and he said, "Who that driving this chariot?" A different man in the chariot from when he had started from Eden on his way to Jerusalem. What a difference is that when you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, if you cannot say this morning, "I know by the grace of God that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord," we'd be so glad to hear from you. Glad to talk with you and say thank you and to help you do the possible. Shall we put that in? Father, Father, we come to thee with thanksgiving in our hearts and with praise to thee for all of your grace and mercy to us. The grace has met us in our sins and in our need, and your mercy has met us in our misery. And we thank thee, Lord, for all of the wonders of thy dealings with us in patience and in grace. And we thank thee for the simple message of the gospel. We pray, Lord, to make it to be effective in the heart and life of any without the knowledge of Christ. And we thank the children of Sunday school, the young people, and in this meeting today. So we commend thy word into thy gracious hands and say this precious name. Amen.
Now project your tape to the end and turn it over for another message by Carl Bass.